We begin our worship with hymn 104. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my dear Redeemer's praise. Let us stand and praise God.
Yeah.
You're very welcome to this celebration of the Holy Communion on the 11th Sunday after Trinity. Just for those who don't know me, Graham Spence is the name. We live down the road in Glebe Manor. We spent a dozen or so years in Armagh Diocese, and then my hair receded, started to fall out, and we felt it was time to take life a bit easier. But we've come home and settled back in the Annahilt area and attending with you here, worshipping God Sunday by Sunday in your lovely parish church. So we hope that you enjoy the service, and more than that, we hope that you learn and benefit through it. So we begin with, we turn to page 201 of the Book of Common Prayer, which you're probably already at, and we begin with a liturgical greeting. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And we join in the collect for purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Gloria. On page 203. The collect of the 11th Sunday after Trinity. As we stand, we pray. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The collect of the 11th Sunday of after Trinity is followed by the Old Testament and the Epistle readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book Genesis, chapter 45, beginning at verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither ploughing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept on them. And after this, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and verses 29 to 32. "I ask, then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they now have been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn today, 433. I am my God, your table here is spread. Hymn 433. We stand to sing.
Thank you.
hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 10. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone, they are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before me, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. God our Father, as we turn now to the Bible, we pray that your Holy Spirit will open our minds so that we might behold some of the wonderful truths you have had written for us. Amen. Please do be seated. Make yourself comfortable for the next hour and a half. And that'll be the last I've ever been heard tell of in Anna Hilt. We live in a world that gives a lot of attention to the externals of life. And Jesus encountered something similar during the course of his own life and ministry. He knew that what really mattered is not the externals, but the internals. Jesus knows that the real you and the real me is who we are on the inside. In Matthew chapter 15, we find him engaged in a heated conversation with old enemies, the Pharisees and scribes. And the main point of contention was the ceremonial washing of hands before you eat. The Pharisees and scribes were convinced that the truly spiritual should adhere to all of the requirements of this Jewish ritual. However, Jesus used this as an occasion to rebuke them, and he did it in very strong terms. He rebuked them for placing their traditions above the clear commandments of God. And in fact, he calls them hypocrites, and he states that their hypocrisy was previously prophesied by Isaiah. So Jesus decides to press the issue because of its importance in defining what true spirituality is. He calls for the multitudes and makes clear who the real you and the real me really are. Jesus is emphatic that we understand that real faith and devotion to God is not a matter of religious form, but rather it is a matter for the heart. The real you, the real me, who we are on the inside, it is a matter of the heart. So what is the essence of true spirituality and godliness? As we've outlined, it is a matter of the heart. Then Jesus called the crowd and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." And Jesus calls the multitudes to listen in on this debate. What matters is what is in the heart, because what is in the heart will eventually come out of the mouth. What is on the inside eventually comes out for all to hear. And this is endorsed by the Old Testament prophet Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord says to Samuel as he begins his inspection of Jesse's sons, trying to find a new king for Israel, "Do not look at the appearance or at the physical stature, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It is a matter of your father." Verses 12 and 13 of chapter 15. "Then the disciples approached and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?' Jesus answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted.'" And while the disciples and the Pharisees were offended by what Jesus said, he drives home the point that those who major on externals in this life and ignore matters of the heart affirms that God is not their heavenly Father. It is a matter of your eyes. Verse 14, "Let them alone, they're blind guides of the blind, and if one blind person guides another, both will fall into the pit." And Jesus uses a second image, the folly of a blind man here trying to lead others. And the Pharisees and scribes, they prided themselves of knowing and obeying the Jewish law, and indeed described themselves as guides to the blind. Jesus, however, he denounces them with the strongest of terms, and he states that they are people who are really blind. The real you, the real me, will be revealed on the outside. Peter, acting as spokesman in this passage, he asked Jesus to explain the parable. Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us, Lord." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and it is this which defiles." And then he goes on to explain, "For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands for the benefit of the Pharisees does not defile." And Jesus expresses shock and disappointment, but he presses on and he provides for the disciples and for us important insights into what real and genuine spirituality looks like. And the thing that defiles and corrupts a man or a woman is certainly not unwashed hands, but an unwashed heart. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The incident that we touched on about the Canaanite woman, also in this chapter, is one of many passages in the gospel accounts which Jesus' ministry was looked forward to, the Gentile mission. In other words, the non-Jewish mission of the early church. And we find him going about his ministry in Tyre and Sidon. We often hear about that group of cities in our news bulletins these days, which of course is Gentile, non-Jewish territory. And we encounter a woman identified as a Canaanite, a non-Jew, and she is referred to as a dog, which was a derogatory term often employed by Jews to denote non-Jews, Gentiles. And furthermore, the preceding half of Matthew 15 deals with Jesus' rejection of the Jewish laws of clean and unclean, the very purity laws which so often serve to separate Jews from unclean Gentiles who did not observe those rules. So Jesus' rejection of these laws, it's paved the way for acceptance of the Gentiles. And in that passage in Matthew 15, Jesus carries through on his principle and he responds to a Gentile's request. So this is another lesson in the story because it is set by a woman. It is a lesson in faith. And where would the church be without you ladies? Is one of the big questions that's being asked. Yeah, it's a lesson in faith, persistent, tenacious faith. And this woman stands and stands alone. It's dramatic. This poor lady had every reason to give up. The disciples and even Jesus seemed to rebuff her. Still, like the dogs and Jesus saying, she clung to his heels. She refused to relax her grip. And in the end, her faith prevailed. The disciples serve as a foil in the story. They represent implicitly the Jewish viewpoint. Why should Jesus give the time of day to someone like this? After all, she was a Gentile, a general nuisance, and her persistence pleased. His disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting after us. And we see the challenge to faith. The surprise comes when Jesus doesn't rebuke the disciples. We expect that. Instead, he seems to take up where he left off and rebuffs the woman even in harsher terms. And he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this was true. Jesus did limit his outreach primarily to Jews, but this was how he saw his mission to God's chosen people. He was determined to minister to Israel first. But he did embrace the wider vision. And from that band of committed Jews, the word of God's salvation would spread to the ends of the whole earth. And we know that. But did this woman know that? Probably not. What did she know was, what she did know was that her daughter was seriously ill. And she had faith, despite Jesus rebuffing her, she had faith that Jesus could heal her child. So she clung on and she fell at his feet. And she came and knelt before him, and she said those lovely moving words, Lord, help me. Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from their master's table. So this woman's faith was not only tenacious, it was also resourceful. She had the last word with Jesus, and he commended her faith. And we read in verse 28 a moment or two ago when he said to her, woman, great is your faith. We need in the Christian church today women and men to embrace this kind of faith. In this world, there's plenty of prejudice, plenty of rejection. Obstacles to faith abound. However, the faith that Jesus commends, the faith that this dear lady demonstrated, is not so easily discouraged. It is a tenacious faith and an example for us all to follow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, make us watchful and keep us faithful as we await the coming of your Son, our Lord, that when he shall appear, he may not find us sleeping in sin, but indeed active in his service and joyful in his praise. Amen. And we stand now and affirm that faith that we've been thinking about this morning. The Nicene Creed on page 205. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life to come. Amen. Let us pray. Everlasting God, hear us as we pray in faith and focus on the needs of others as well as ourselves. We pray for the whole family of your church in our group of parishes. We pray for all those who use their gifts and talents to enhance our worship week by week. May all our people be built up in their faith and empowered by the Holy Spirit to demonstrate in their lives the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. Creator God, your Son entered creation that all might be made new. Look in mercy on our broken and burning world, and speak to all people that they may hear the message of peace. Guide and guard those who speak out for justice and mercy, and face the wrath of undemocratic leaders and governments. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our King and Queen and members of the royal family, Prime Minister Burnham and his government, the First Minister, Deputy First Minister, and members of the Northern Ireland Assembly. Grant them clarity of thought and courage to make wise decisions that will impact positively on all our lives. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who have been set apart for the ministry of word and sacrament, remembering especially David, our bishop, and Robert, our rector, and the clergy of our diocese, that they might have sufficient strength and vision for the work they have been called to do. We pray for all who are involved in the life and ministry of this group of parishes. And again, we thank you for their gifts and talents that bless us and enhance our worship here. May they long continue to carry out their duties and responsibilities for the glory of God and the blessing of his people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for family, colleagues, friends, and neighbors, and for those with whom we break bread at home, at work, in the church, and in the community. We pray particularly for those among our friends and families who do not yet know you, or whose faith has been shaken or fallen away. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray for all who are in trouble today, in hospital, at home, and in nursing home. We remember all those who are concerned about their health. We give thanks for our hospitals, health centers, and clinics, for the skills of medical and nursing staff, for the comfort and healing they bring, and not forgetting all those serving in care homes and as home helps in the community. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, giver of love and power, your Son Jesus Christ has sent us all into the world to preach the gospel of his kingdom. Confirm us in this mission and help us to live out the good news we proclaim in all that we say and do. Lord, in your mercy. And we keep a few moments now of quietness to enable us to bring our own personal requests and thanksgivings to God. We conclude our prayers by praying for one another using the words at the bottom of page 206. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we do continue, just to summarize our prayers, with the Lord's Prayer, traditional version. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We turn to page 207. And we offer the sign of the peace. I don't think we do that, sure. We don't offer the sign. So we continue with the offertory hymn, which is 531. Hymn 531, where love and loving kindness dwell.
Thank you.
turn to the bottom of page 288. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father Almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. Lord of all mercy, we, your faithful people, have celebrated. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, continuing on page 218. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Thank you.
Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord of all mercy, we, your faithful people, have celebrated the memorial of that single sacrifice which takes away our sins and brings us pardon and peace. By our communion, keep us firm on the foundation of the gospel and preserve us from all sin, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we join together in the prayer, the celebration, thanksgiving prayer at the top of page 221. We say, Almighty God, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Just some notices that the rector has left. Next Sunday, Trinity 12, morning prayer 10 o'clock. Items for the September edition of the Parish Magazine are now due and should be sent to Roger Maxwell by Sunday the 23rd. Sunday the 23rd. United choir practice will take place in church on Thursday, the 3rd of September. The rector is off duty until Wednesday, the 2nd of September, and during this period, emergency calls will be attended by myself. I have changed my mobile phone, actually, so I will get that to you just in case something arises. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. That's the first time I've celebrated in more than 2 years. So I apologize, a little bit ropey here and there, but I think we got there in the end, didn't we? Yeah? Is it a pass?
Yes.
Is it? That's great. Thanks very much. I'd sleep so much better after that. But it's lovely to see you, and I just love being in this church. We came here years ago as a lay reader. It's way back in the midst of time. But I always enjoyed my visits here and to Macra Hamlet as well. You're very friendly and very welcoming people. And not to let a cat out of the bag, it's not always like that. You know? Although this diocese is my home diocese, like you, and it's a lovely place to live and to worship. So thank you very much. Have a lovely day. What do I do next? Oh, yes, recessional hymn. It's all written down here. The rector's very thorough. I can't make a mess of it. Recessional hymn is 324, God whose almighty word. 324.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.